Hey there, this is Sarah Bone, and I'm so happy you're joining me on the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our hope that these words help you know who Jesus is and what he's done for all of us. Thanks for listening. Now let's dive in.
I get to just kind of jump in on the series that we've been in, where if you haven't been with us, we've been studying the Lord's Prayer. We're just kind of unpacking the Lord's Prayer, kind of a phrase at a time and just going through it little by little. Michael, a couple weeks ago, talked about the opening, our Father who art in heaven, and talked about God being our loving Father, and then talked about God's kingdom and how we all better be ready because it's going to be amazing when we get there, and how we want to bring heaven to earth. And then, you know, Rick talked last week about bread and our daily bread and our, you know, temptation. And then I get a really light subject like forgiveness. Like awesome, awesome. So like we've done the last several weeks, here's what we want to do is we want to actually just read the Lord's Prayer together straight out of the book of Matthew. So we're going to pop it up on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab one. We've got a bunch in the lobby for you. We'd love for you to take one of those with you if you don't have one. But we're just going to read the Lord's Prayer together. And because I've sat here every single week and I'm part of the congregation, I sit here and I've noticed a pattern, and I do it too. Sometime when we read the Lord's Prayer, it's just this, like this thing that we do. Our Father who art in heaven, blah, 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 blah. And yet this is God's word. This is the model prayer that Jesus gave us. And so today we're not at a funeral. We all often recite the Lord's Prayer at a funeral. And I can understand if we're in one of those moments, on one of those spaces, but this is the model prayer that Jesus gave us. And so let's read this with a little gusto, with a little enthusiasm. So join me. This then is how you should pray. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, question. How many of you, as we've read this week after week, you get to that point, because we stop right there. How many of you feel awkward with that stopping point right there? Can we just confess this right now, right? I have felt awkward every week when we get to that point. Because it's like we land with, but deliver us from evil. Because we all know what comes next, right? For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. Right? How many of you have felt that? Right? Okay, good. So I'm not alone. We're going to talk about that. The Lord's Prayer is, when we just go through it, it feels like a list to me. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. It feels like a list. Here's a list for you. Check out this list on the screen. Here's a simple grocery list. A simple list that someone might leave out for someone to go to the store and pick up these things. So look at the things on the list, right? There's some interesting things on there, right? We got rice, crackers, NyQuil, detergent, Oreos. Come on, get the double stuff, right? Lunch meat, diapers, coffee, caffeine, anything, right? This is a list. Somebody probably has some small kids at home, hence the coffee, maybe the NyQuil. I don't know for the kids, for you. I don't know who, but you know, just stick with me for a second. At a quick glance on this list, if this was left out for you, and husbands, this is like, you better know this one. What's the most important thing on this list? Oreos. No. Of course, diapers. Why? Why is the most important? I'm a teacher, so I need feedback. Why is this the most important thing on the list? Yeah, because the asterisk, and we don't want to clean the carpets again, y'all. Right? Clearly, when you go to the grocery, if you're in a hurry, what's the only item, if you can only grab one, what's the item that you should grab off of this list? You're in trouble, sir. Diapers. Diapers, because the person who wrote the list told us, I am not cleaning the carpets again. You will clean the carpets next time. Diapers. Clearly on the list, that's saying, like, as much as I want the double stuffed Oreos, right? We may need the NyQuil. We can go back, but you better bring home diapers. This list is interesting. And to me, we're going to use this as kind of a metaphor with the Lord's Prayer. Because he gives us a list. He goes down this list. Again, here it is. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, another question. How many of you have felt the angst in the room when we get to that line, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, because you grew up with a different tradition, a different word there, all right? So let me ask, how many of you grew up reciting the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? That's been your experience, the debts and debtors part, okay? All right, so a few of you. How many of you forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? Okay, so a much larger group. How many of you forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us? Yeah, a few of you. You're the reason we can't have nice things, okay? No. Listen. Here's the thing. Tradition is, in the original text, when you go back and you look, were we getting this from the Latin, from the Greek? What translation did we get this from? And you get the multiple people translated this different ways. A lot of scholars have kind of landed in this place of debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Trespasses is slipped in there in other translations, but it's okay. When you start to tear apart the language, they mean subtly different things, but scholars have all said, like, okay, whether we're going to go debts, trespasses, sins, we're all okay if we land in either of those spaces. So I had to learn that this week because I grew up a trespasses guy. Right? That's how I grew up. And so I would always, you know, when we go someplace and they're like, no, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. I'm always like feeling out the crowd. Are we going debts or trespasses? Where are we going? Like, how are we doing this? And so you get to that point, what everybody does, I just mumble and forgive us our, as we forgive, right? And then generally the crowd will lead you. And then, you know, the second part, it's okay. And then here's what's interesting here, as we've been in church every week, we end with, but deliver us from the evil one. And we all know what comes next, right? What's the first word? For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. All right, little English lesson here real quick. The word for is a conjunction, okay? Remember conjunctions, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Hooking up a little Schoolhouse Rock, right? I mean, you know, if you don't know what that is, Google it, people, okay? Yes, thank you. Schoolhouse Rock, conjunction is connecting, hooking up words and all kinds of phrases, right? So what we've grown up with is lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For conjunction, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Feels good. It's like an exclamation point on that text. So why haven't we been reading it every single week in church like that? That phrase, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen, comes, it's rooted in the Old Testament. You see it in other places. And when scholars were going back and they were canonizing the Bible and they were putting all this text together, there had been this book of prayer that had been widely used in Catholic tradition and Protestant tradition. And they had taken a couple of these themes and references of kind of these benedictions in the Old Testament, and they stamped them on the end of the Lord's model prayer, and it just became a normal tradition, so much so that even a lot of Bibles will leave, for yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever, amen, in there. And then if you look in the footnotes, it's usually footnoted, not in some of the original transcripts. But there's still a conjunction there. For. And if we read the text, where we've stopped every week in here, we've read the Lord's model prayer. We haven't done anything wrong. We read the Lord's model prayer, but it stops. But if you're reading one of those Bibles where the words are read, Jesus' read words continue in verse 14. So verse 13 ends, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 14. For conjunction, linking the next phrase to the previous thought, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know about you, but I like, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
a whole lot better than that.
I don't know why the scribes and the people who were working with the text, I don't know why they grabbed these Old Testament benediction prayers, these exclamation points from the other text and stamped them on the end of the Lord's model prayer for their liturgy and for their ceremonies and for the book of prayers. I don't know why they did, but I can tell you why I would do that, because I don't like verse 14. Verse 14 is saying, I've given you a list and a way to pray, and don't forget the diapers. Think about it. He tells us, this is how you should pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Oh, and by the way, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus' whole ministry, he came so that we could experience forgiveness, his grace, because he knew something that we didn't know. In this model prayer, he was trying to sneak in between, you're going to need bread. So pray for bread, pray for your provision, and you're going to need to be released from temptation. But equally important, and maybe even more important, snuck in between those is you need to forgive others, and you need to be forgiven, because forgiveness ends in freedom. Jesus came, John 10 says he came that we would have life and have it to the fullest. He came that we would have freedom. His whole point was he wanted us to live and walk in freedom. So he was commanding us and teaching us to pray for forgiveness, to receive forgiveness, because he knew we needed it. And he wanted us to walk in freedom. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in freedom. I love the freedom that we have to assemble, the freedom that we have to be together as a church here in this country. I was here this on Friday night as we did Gather 25 with people all around the world, and they talked about people who don't have the opportunity to experience freedom of worship in their country, and people are being persecuted around the world. I love the freedoms that we have to assemble, and I love the freedom that I have one day to stand before Jesus, before God, and be washed in the blood of Jesus. And I am free, forgiven. That gives me freedom to walk around this community and to apologize to people when I make mistakes and to love others. There's beauty and freedom that comes from the forgiveness that we have been given. And Jesus wants us to experience that. So much so, he talks about it. We're gonna continue to play in Matthew. Fast forward a little bit to Matthew 18. That's where we're gonna land for just a minute, because Jesus gave us this model prayer. And then in Matthew 18, we see him talking about this idea of forgiveness. Again, Peter comes to him one day, and Peter came to Jesus and he asked, hey Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And I don't know what Peter was, what was going through his mind. He was like, how about seven? Two feels like probably not enough. I don't know that I got 10 in me. So how about seven? Jesus, can I go with that? Like these other guys, they were saying four, but I'm going seven. How about it? Jesus, words in red, answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. It's figurative, it's a metaphor. You can study that part on your own, because here's what he does. He goes on to tell a story. It's a parable. It's how Jesus taught. He says, therefore, Peter, and all of y'all that are listening, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. That's a lot, by the way. 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Jesus is using, I love him using exaggeration here in this parable. It's a teaching device. He's using exaggeration because people are like, 10,000 bags, are you kidding me? Like, I've never even seen, like, that's crazy. Jesus is like, yeah, I know. That's, hang on, that's the point I'm trying to make. 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since the guy was clearly not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all four of them, and all that had to be sold to repay the debt. Now at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Let's read these words together. I'm a teacher, so I'm gonna need you to play along. These words that he says next, ready? Be patient with me. That was horrible. Here we go, let's try it again, okay? Here's what he says. He says, not yet. Okay, here we go. Ready? Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. Could he pay back everything? Is there any way he could do that? He couldn't. He asked for patience. Interesting. And I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him. I love this. Canceled the, what's that next word? Canceled the debt. Did he cancel the trespasses? No, he canceled the debt. There's a reason why Jesus chose the word debt. He canceled the debt and he let him go. What did the guy ask for? What did he want? He wanted patience. Jesus in the story was like, you're asking for the wrong thing. You don't need patience because if you just take this a little bit at a time and pay, you're gonna die before you ever pay this off. Let me do you one better. I'm going to cancel it. I'm going to forgive it. I'm going to release you forever. Once and for all, done. Patience, you're gonna work your whole life to try to fix it yourself and you can't. I'm gonna pay for it once and for all. Canceled the debt. But then the servant goes out and the text says, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. It's a parable. We don't know if Jesus was saying he went looking then for people who owed him or if he just stumbled into him. We don't know. But it said he found this guy who owed him 100 coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. One of the commentators that I was reading this week said he was, we don't have a word that translates. The best word that comes up with it is he's throttling him. He's just like, I'm gonna get you. Like throttles him, like got him by the neck and he's choking him to get his money back. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him. Uh-oh, what are these next four words? Be patient with me. What's he asking for? He's asking for patience. Jesus is cluing us in, right? He was like, this should feel familiar. The servant should have realized, oh, someone's asking for patience. I now have the opportunity to then forgive their debt because they're asking for patience. And you just went through this. You should see this. You should recognize this. You asked for patience. Your debt was forgiven. Now this guy's asking for patience, so you should forgive his debt, right? So that should be how the story ends. His fellow servant begged him, be patient with me and I'll pay it back. Verse 30, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and they went and they told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. And these are words I never want to hear. The master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. And actually, you only asked, just remember, you asked for patience. And instead, I just wiped everything out. I took all of your debt. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Here's the outcome. In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And then look at the mirror image that we get to Matthew 6:14, the end of the real ending to the Lord's Prayer. This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. We end up in prison. Because forgiveness leads to freedom, but unforgiveness ends in prison. Unforgiveness ends in jail. Unforgiveness ends in a place of constant worry of who we're gonna run into. Unforgiveness leaves us in a constant place of fear of who we might see at the next wedding. Unforgiveness leaves us in a place locked up in jail of concern, of worry, of rolling around the incident, the moment, the phone call, the email, what she said, what he said, how I was hurt, what he did. Unforgiveness leaves us in that loop where we just roll it over and over and over and over and over and over. And it's a jail, it's a prison. The text uses that word over and over and over and talks about that debt when it's not forgiven leaves us in jail, in prison, and in shackles. It was important that Jesus understood that, or Jesus wanted us to understand that that ended in prison. So much so, again, we're playing in Matthew's sandbox. Go to Matthew 5, which is right before the model prayer that we get. In Matthew 5, Jesus' words again that we get where he's teaching about anger. Jesus is teaching about anger, and the text starts to talk about anger and then flips to murder. And so all of us go, whew, well, that's not me. I haven't killed anybody, right? But listen, he's talking about anger and this idea of forgiveness and what happens when it rolls around in there and what we do with it. And so he kind of concludes with this thought. He says this, Matthew 5, verses 23 through 26. He says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, you find yourself at the altar at church, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. It's alluding to this fact. If you're going to go and worship and find yourself getting dressed up, rolling into worship, going to a place where you're going to claim God's authority in your life, you're going to say, God, you're amazing. You're big. I'm small. You're good. I'm not. You're holy. One day I want to experience your holiness and be with you. That's your posture. That's where you're going. And when you land there, after you say hi to everybody and drop your kids off at MP Kids, and when you land there and then you realize, oh man, I've got this thing going on in my gut, and oh, this person has hurt me and I'm still holding on to it. Jesus says this. He says, if that's you first, before you raise your hands and sing and pray and clap and say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, you're so good. Before you do any of that, first go and be reconciled to that person and then come and offer your gift. He's saying that's how big a deal this forgiveness thing is. He says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together in life, while you still have the opportunity to reconcile. Or your adversary may hand you over to the judge. You know where this is going. And the judge may hand you over to the officer. And the officer may have you be thrown into where? Prison. Into jail. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid your last penny. Jesus is instructing us that this unforgiveness thing, not only does it lead to prison, it's a big deal. And it's a step, it's an action that we have to take. Forgiveness is an action that we have to actually do, that we have to do something in us. And not only is he telling us, he's instructing us that forgiveness is an action that we have to step into and an action that we have to take, he modeled it. Amen? He modeled it. And you're like, well, Scott, you don't understand. You don't understand what that coach said about my daughter on the volleyball team. I can't forgive that. You don't understand what that person said on Facebook. How am I supposed to forgive that? You're right. I don't understand. In comparison,
to him on the cross, who stretched out his arms and says to the Father about the people who were putting him to death, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want to be careful because I can trivialize what somebody said about your daughter. I can trivialize what someone said about you on Facebook. And honestly, I kind of do that to make a joke and to let it sink in. But there are people in this room that have experienced unbearable, gruesome pain that I can never imagine, never would wish on anyone. And if we sat around a fire and all compared our pain and our hurt, all of us would probably step back and go, "Yeah, I'm good. I don't have that." Like, and it would be a big contest, and somebody in this room would win, and it would be awful. So I don't want to trivialize pain and hurt and brokenness. I don't want to all make light of that. But even the worst of the worst is not excused from our forgiveness. Jesus stood on the cross to the people that were killing him and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's not easy, though. There is a progression. And some of you are over here in this space where it is like, you know what? I need to forgive this person. And you're having that aha this morning. And it will just be in this space quietly between you and the Lord, and you will forgive them in your heart. And I think it counts. It counts. And you will begin, as you do that, as you release that forgiveness in your heart, you will begin to experience freedom. But there's this range of forgiving them quietly and silently, you know, in church in my heart, to this next place of, well, I need to forgive them, and maybe I need to reach out to let them know that I have forgiven them. Well, that feels different than this, doesn't it? This is like, okay, I can do it in church and, you know, we're not going to talk about it again. But then when I go here and we're talking about sending an email, maybe a phone call, maybe face-to-face, okay, the stakes get a little higher. And then over here is this other place of, okay, well, now I'm not only going to forgive silently and then we're going to have a conversation, but that means then I am going to continue to show up and go to this thing and maybe be together. And then there's this ultimate place, this beautiful place where the text calls it reconciled, reconciliation, where we actually not only fix it, it's been restored, and then we're building upon it as a model for other people. And this is where Jesus wants us. But I don't want to be foolish to say that every one of us can go from there to here and you better do that in the next 7 days or don't come to church. That's not the point. Because let's be honest, some of you are over here and you want to be over here, but that person that hurt you, that broke you, that like nearly destroyed you, that person has already passed. They've moved on from this planet and you have no opportunity to even make it right. That's the beauty of what Christ has given us, is the opportunity to forgive in our heart and to release and to let that go. And yet he still calls us to make it through that space. Now, for some of you, it is not safe. Listen, if it's not safe for you to do that, then don't. I mean, if your physical safety, your kids and your marriage and other things are gonna be like, no, then don't jack with it, okay? But start here. And I'll just say this church has an incredible ministry called Stephen Ministry. These Stephen ministers that are part of our church go through a bazillion hours of training to figure out how just to walk alongside people in their journey with the Lord. And so if that's you and you're like, "Man, Scott, I'm here and I want to move over here. Like, I want to get to this place." I would encourage you to reach out, go to the church's website. You can hop on there and connect with one of our Stephen ministers. They're going to help you maybe move the needle from here. Or let me just say this. I'm going to publicly say this. I have no problem saying it. I have sat with a counselor every 30 days, whether I think I need it or not, for the last 20 years. I am a huge proponent of counseling. Some days it's my buddy and we hang out. Other days I walk in and I go, "Sit down, you're going to earn your money today." I think we all need it. And for some of you, if you have been stuck here, you're like, "You can't even get here." Or you've been stuck here and you know the Lord is calling you here. Some of you, you need another really smart person with letters behind their name to help you get to that place. And there is no shame in that. Reach out to somebody at the church. They'll connect you with somebody. I'm not sending you to my guy because then he'll tell me no and I want to still hang out with him. So you can find somebody.
Find someone, but connect with one of these Stephen ministers, because we all need to be released from the prison of unforgiveness. Because Jesus came that we would have life and have it to the full. And he wants us to live in freedom. He wants us to live in freedom. So here's what we're gonna do this morning. Here's how we're gonna end. I'm gonna give you a minute and a half, 2 minutes. These guys are just gonna play. They're gonna noodle on the guitar and they're just gonna play. We're gonna dim the lights. And I need you to do me a favor. I'm gonna challenge you just to do this, just to listen. Not to me. Just listen. Listen to the Lord. He may give you a picture of a person. He may give you a memory. He may give you a thought. He may give you a name. He may give you a moment. But just listen. And let him speak to you about where you've been held captive. And then today, I believe this is possible. I believe releasing that and forgiving silently and quietly in your heart, I believe it is possible in this moment, in this space that you're gonna have. And you can release it. This space takes a little more time and effort and courage. This space takes a lot of effort and a lot of courage, and you're probably not scoring that in the next 10 minutes. This place over here may take years. It may take decades. You may never get there. But I know this. Forgiveness leads to freedom, and unforgiveness is a prison. It's a prison. So you get the chance for a minute and a half, 2 minutes, to just sit and to listen to the Lord and to see what he's saying to you, who he's saying to you, what he's saying to you. And then what's gonna happen next, we're gonna take that minute and a half, nothing creepy, nothing weird's gonna happen. You just get a moment with the Lord. And then these guys are gonna lead us in the song Graves to Gardens. And if you can sing in that moment, because you're like, yeah, I'm in a good place, I'm ready to sing, I want you to sing. And if you can't, stay seated and just listen to the Lord and just listen while other people around you worship and sing and let that wash over you. And then we're gonna kind of wrap up part of that song, and then one of our elders, Dennis, is gonna come out and he's gonna lead us through communion, which is a picture of, guess what? Forgiveness. We're gonna walk through that moment and experience remembering forgiveness and what that's all about. And then after that, we'll stand and we'll sing and we'll end with Graves into Gardens. So let me pray for us as we walk into this minute and a half. Lord Jesus, if there's anything dumb that I've said, I pray that that would fall away and that you would just right now in this moment, you would use this minute and a half to speak to us. Help us to see what you want us to see, hear what you want us to hear, and do what you want us to do.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to see you in person next Sunday at either 9 or 10:45 a.m. at the Warsaw High School Performing Arts Center. For more information, visit us at missionpoint.net. Have a great week.